I believe the divine presence of the Holy Ghost is in this place right here and right now. I believe from the onset, from the very absolute beginning this morning, way before the majority of the people got into this house, a small group had met for a leadership course. But I want you to know, when I walked in here, the Holy Ghost was already in here this morning. They had ushered it in through their attitude and desire of praise and worship and glory unto God. He has just absolutely worked this service from beginning to end. Now that tells me there's destiny in the house. That tells me there's power to change. That tells me there's salvation. That tells me there's hope above anything else. Hallelujah. I tell you what, we're on a trip. This world is not our home. We're just passing on through. And I want to invite anybody in this house right now, and I want to invite anybody outside of this house that wants to join this trip. Come and go with me to my Father's house. To my Father's house. To my Father's house. Oh, come and go with me to my Father's house, where there is peace, peace. Come and go with me to my Father's house, to my Father's house, to my Father's house. Oh, come and go with me to my Father's house, where there is peace. There is no more sorrow there in my Father's house, in my Father's house. Well, in my Father's house, there is no more sorrow there. Father's house, where there is peace, peace, peace. No more dying there, no more dying there. In my Father's house, oh, in my Father's house, in my Father's house, there is no more dying there. In my Father's house, where there is peace, peace, peace. No more pain, no more pain there. In my Father's house, oh, in my Father's house, in my Father's house, where there's no more pain there. In my Father's house, where there's peace, peace, peace. Come and go now, come and go with me to my Father's house, oh, to my Father's house, to my Father's house. Well, come and go with me to my Father's house, where there is peace, peace. Sing it to your neighbor, invite him along. Come and go with me to my Father's house. Oh, to my Father's house. Sing it to your neighbor. Well, come and go with me to my Father's house. There is peace, peace, peace. Anybody excited about going to the house of Jesus? I'm not talking about just coming to force some four-walled building called a church. I'm talking about a bigger trip. I'm talking about a trip that the Holy Ghost train takes us to. It's a place called heaven where there's a street of gold, a gate of pearl, and walls of jasper. Anybody want to go to heaven? It's hard to get people excited about something you're not very excited about. How many people believe there is a place called heaven? How many are excited about that place called heaven? Hallelujah. If you will, take your Bibles and turn to Numbers chapter 10. I do not intend today to be long at all. Numbers chapter 10, beginning with verse 29. Numbers chapter 10, it's very easy. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. Here you are, right here at the beginning of the Bible. It's not hard to find at all. You can find it. Genesis chapter, or Numbers chapter 10, beginning with verse 29. Numbers 10, verse 29. Thank you to this church body for your faithfulness. You have done so well at enduring me for 2 weeks. You are to be commended. And to put yourself through it another week is just beyond my comprehension. But you have responded so well. And your desire to draw closer to God, the saints at this church, and your support for revival and for harvest, and your desire to pay whatever cost needs to be paid to see that Oroville has the gospel just absolutely propagated throughout it all, through our worship and our praise and our examples of our life in the community. thank you so much for your work in trying to get people to come out to the house of the Lord. I want you to know we can only do our part. And the rest of it, we have to put into the hands of the Lord and make it a matter of prayer and intercession. Amen? If we'll do our part in spreading the gospel and letting people know we've got service happening, and then just put it in the hands of the Lord through prayer and intercession, He'll do the drawing. I said, He'll do the drawing. He said, if I be lifted up from this earth, I will draw all men unto me. Friend, He's already been lifted up. Amen? He was lifted up on Calvary, and He'll do the drawing. Numbers chapter 10, beginning with verse 29. And Moses said unto Hobab, the son of Raguel, the Midianite, Moses' father-in-law, we are journeying unto the place of which the Lord said, I will give it to you. I will give it you. Come, thou, go with us, and we will do thee good. For the Lord has spoken good concerning Israel. And he said unto him, I will not go, but I will depart to mine own land and go to my kindred. And he said, leave us not, I pray thee, for as much as thou knowest how we are to encamp in the wilderness, and thou mayest be to us instead of eyes. And it shall be, if thou go with us, yea, it shall be, that what goodness the Lord shall do unto us, the same will we do unto thee. I want to invite you again to look at the verse where it said, we are journeying. This is the words of of Moses to his father-in-law. We are journeying unto the place of which the Lord said, I will give it you. Come thou with us, and we will do thee good. I want to invite somebody this morning to come and go with us on a little trip. If you will, this morning, indulge with me, and probably not an original title, but probably a soul-shocking, spirit-shaking title. I want to speak to you just for a few minutes this morning on this subject. Hell no, heaven yes. I want everybody in this place to say no to hell, and heaven you say yes to before you leave this place. Jesus, help us, I pray, to make the right decision this morning. Help us, Lord, in the divine invitation that is given to us by a death on a cross and by the hope of a resurrection and by the power of the Holy Ghost that you have already began to pour out upon all flesh. I pray, Lord, that our hearts will be moved with the pricking and the conviction of the Holy Ghost in this house. Let your spirit prevail in the presence of God. Permeate through every wall of flesh and every wall of carnality in the name of Jesus. And everybody say, in Jesus' name. You can be seated in Jesus' name. It hadn't been long that they had been out of Egypt. They had been traveling in the wilderness, and yes, the tabernacle had already been instituted, and the law had already been laid out because Moses had already descended down from Mount Sinai. And now they were leaving the wilderness of Sinai and traveling into another wilderness of Paran. And here they are, and they look at Moses' father-in-law right in the face. And Moses looks at daddy-in-law, and he says, sir, come with us, go with us to a place that the Lord has said. And he told us that he was going to give it to us. Now would you come with us? You've known me for a while, daddy-in-law. You've seen us. You've witnessed me. You've watched the people that were bound in Egypt. And look how the Lord has set us free. And miraculously, He has brought us across the sea. And He drowned the army of Pharaoh. Well, look at us now. Look at the testimony. We're not just blindly coming to you as a bunch of aimless people roaming throughout the wilderness with no place to go. We're on our place to a place in which the Lord has said. We're on our way to go and enjoy the promise of the Lord. We're not just coming to you with blind set faith and things that haven't been able to been proven. We are coming to you with a God that has already proven Himself. Oh, I want you to understand, folks, the greatest testimony you got is the one that lies within your own life. The greatest thing you've got a hold of is when the Holy Ghost filled you up from your soles of your feet to the hair of on your head. Here you are, and you're looking on how is this world going to believe your story? How is this world ever going to be able to believe in God? Well, friend, let them see you. Let them see what the Lord has done for you. Let them see the power of God and how it delivered you and brought you out and set you free. Let them see what God has done for you. Don't be ashamed of the power of God in your life. Don't be ashamed of the fact that, yes, one day you were a sinner. But be proud in a righteous sense of the fact that God, in all of His righteousness, came down and lifted you out of miry clay and set your feet on a rock to stay. Your greatest testimony is the one that lies within your own being. Come on, Daddy-in-law. I'm not coming to you with blind faith. I'm coming to you with testimony and proof. We are victors over the enemy with the word of our testimony, the Bible says. Come on. Follow us and go to a place that the Lord has said. Well, Daddy-in-law, he hears the invitation. He hears that the promise of his son Moses was, and will do thee good. We won't harm thee. We're the body. We're the children of God. Will do you good nevertheless, even with that kind of an invitation, even with that kind of a promise. Daddy-in-law, Hobab, looks back at Moses, son-in-law, and he says, son, I'm not going to go with you. I'm going to go back to my land, and I'm going to go back to my kindred. Now, hear me for a moment, because there were three things that Daddy-in-law told Moses that day. Number one, he said, I will. I think there are three things that stop many or a majority of people from choosing to follow after Jesus Christ. The first thing is, I will. Hobab looks at him and says, well, I will not go with thee. I think the first thing that rises up that causes people to say, no, I choose not to follow Jesus today, is self. I will. Self. Concerned about me. Well, what is going to happen if I let loose of everything that I've got? I'm busy climbing a corporate ladder. I'm busy trying to preserve this body. I've got to work out. I've got to preserve. I've got to get strong. I've got to lift up. I've got a reputation to uphold. I've got a repertoire to keep in the town and the community. I will not go because it does not benefit me. I will not step out and follow you, Moses, because, well, the self has concerns. The self has itself in mind. Well, what is in it for me? Well, what do I get out of it? And I don't see a lot of promise for me. What could you possibly give me, Moses? You have nothing but a bunch of whining people following you right now because they're hungry and they don't have any meat to eat. And here you want me to go with you and you promise to do me good? What does it do for me? I want people in this house to understand that somehow, some way, hell will try to convince you. Hell will tell you that all you've got in life is just you. Hell will try to convince you that without you preserving your body, you'll never be successful. Hell will tell you if you don't reach the CEO office at the top of the skyscraper in Sacramento, you'll never be something in life. Hell will tell you that everything in life should revolve around you, and that you're the center of life, and that everything that exists, exists because you are around. Hell will try to convince you that without self, you are nothing. But heaven will tell you, cast away this life. He that hateth this life and loveth Jesus, he'll have eternal life. Oh, somebody, I want you to know, heaven will tell you, I beseech ye therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. Heaven will tell you, except the corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it will not bring forth fruit. I want you to know, my friend, heaven will tell you, if you'll cast away self, if you'll sacrifice self and trust in Him, you will obtain eternal life. But he didn't stop there itself. Hobab looked at Moses and he said, I will not go. Number one, it was self. But number two, he said, I will depart unto my own land. In other words, I believe that the second thing that keeps people from coming to Jesus Christ, the first thing being self, the second thing being provision. His land is that which was providing for his being. His land is what gave him provision and met his needs. People look at the church and they look at Jesus and then they compare with the things of this world and the material things, the cars and the houses and the money and the friends and all that is around. And they say, well, wait a minute. Not only is self concerned here, but how am I going to have provision? How am I going to make it if I get involved in church? Right now, I keep all of my paycheck. But if I get in church, you're going to demand of me a part called a tithe and an offering. How am I going to make it if I want to really get
in church. I might as well just stay out in this world. I might as well just trust in my own land. But I want you to know, my friend, there's a place called the Promised Land. If you'll come and trust in Jesus Christ, He'll fill you with the gift of the Holy Ghost and provide for you all that you could ever want and need. He'll give you the very desires of your heart. Hell will tell you that if you come into the church, there will be no provision. Hell will try to convince you if you come into the church, you will lose all. Hell will try to convince you that if you trust in God, you will be lonely and depressed. You will be poor and wretched. But I want you to know, my friend, the Bible said, and heaven will tell you today, that no man hath given up father, mother, child, brother, sister, houses, or land, in which he will not bless you 100-fold in this life. Time. Somebody hear me. What you give up to Jesus, He's going to give back to you 100-fold. What you give up to Him in your paycheck, He always makes sure the bills are met and the needs are met in your life. Whatever land you give up for Jesus, He'll make sure there's corn in the storehouse. He'll make sure there's cattle in the barn. He'll make sure there's food on the table. He'll make sure there's land for you to dwell on. He'll make sure there's roof over your head. He is the shelter in the time of storm. He is the strong tower that the righteous run into and is safe. Hear me today, my friend. Hell says you can't make it without your own land. But I tell you, cast your own land away. Cast your cares on Jesus, for He careth for you. I want you to know, if you'll trust in Jesus, heaven says He will meet your need. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. He'll be a friend that's closer than a brother. And then there is the third thing. You see, Hobab said, I will not go. Number one was self. Number two was the worry and stress over provision that keeps people from stepping out for the Lord. But number three, Hobab looks at Moses and he says, well, I'm going to go to my kindred. In other words, the last thing that I think, that well, not the last thing in importance, but at least the third thing that I find that keeps people from stepping out and dedicating their life to Jesus Christ is loved ones and kindred. The obligations of family. The obligations of friends. You see, they look at themselves and they think, well, I was raised like this and I'll never change. Well, this is the way it's always been in the Grayson family. So I guess it just means I'm destined to be like this. Well, Daddy was an alcoholic, I'm going to be an alcoholic. Well, Mama was bound with drugs, I'm going to be bound with drugs. Well, they raised me in a cursing household, I guess I'm just going to be one that always curses. I don't know about you, but hell will try to convince you that there are chains of kindredness around you in which you cannot break. That sins will surely fall on the third and fourth generation. But I want you to know that was before the cross. I want you to know when you get the cross in your life, it can break the chains of generations. It can stop straight in its tracks the sins that have stayed in the household and visited families. Just because Taddy was an alcoholic doesn't mean you have to be an alcoholic. And just because there was drugs in the home doesn't mean you have to go after drugs. I want you to know heaven says that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. You see, to feel the obligation and the pulling of friends. Well, I would go to church, but my friends want me to do this Sunday. Well, I'd be faithful, but the family has got a gathering together. I'd do this, but I don't know. I've got some obligations to some people out in this world. I want you to know, my friend, heaven will tell you if you'll make Jesus your family. Heaven will tell you that there is a family called brothers and sisters in the body of Christ who will care for you and bear your burdens for you, who will not condemn you or cast you down. Hear me now, right now, church. We have the finest and greatest of obligations right now to be one another as brothers and sisters, to bear each other's burdens, to take care of each other, that this world may see that there's a tighter knit family in the body of Christ than you could ever develop through the seed of man in this world. But Moses was smart. He was wise in his very mind. He responded to Hobab like this. He gave him a response for every excuse Hobab ever come up with for not following him and going to a place that the Lord had said. You see, when Hobab had said, well, Moses, I'm going to depart. I'm going to do my own thing. The self is concerned here. Moses says this. In verse 31, he says, thou knowest how we. In other words, Hobab, life is a whole lot bigger than just you, friend. Hoban, you're not just an island unto yourself. Hoban, get a grip here, sir. I want you to know that this world is a whole lot bigger than your little confines and circumference of your head and your being. Hoban, get a little life here, sir. Don't you understand that life in general is a whole lot bigger than one name called Hoban? Hear me right now, my friend. Hear me right now, mother. Life is a whole lot bigger than just self. You've got children underneath you. Hear me right now, daddy. You've got a home in your charge. Hear me right now, sir. You've got an entire family at stake here. You've got people surrounding you. This experience with Jesus Christ is a whole lot bigger than just you. It involves everybody around you. You're not an island unto yourself, sir. You know how we. Thou knowest how we. In other words, you're involved with this already. It's too late, my friend. This experience is too big. You can't get away from it. It already involves you. You must make a decision. When Jesus died on a cross and shed His blood, went to a grave for 3 days and rose back up. At that point, my friend, it involved every single person that would ever breathe another breath on this earth. It involved you in a case called mercy. How will you respond to it? How will you give yourself to it? How will you take it and receive it within your own life? You see, it's already been thrust on your shoulders, the burden of decision. You say, well, I don't know. I am a free will agent. I can make my own choice. See, the key words there is I. I can make my own choice. Well, friend, let me give you a little revelation here. Actually, as we boast ourselves to be agents of choice and we have all these choices, really, you only have one choice. Really, you only have one choice. The choice is this. To whom are you going to become a slave to? Are you going to become a slave to Jesus Christ? Or are you going to become a slave to Satan, the prince of darkness, the evil of this world? What is your choice that you're going to make today, my friend? I know people make that same choice over and over and over again. But when it comes right down to it, it's still the same choice. To whom am I going to serve? To what place am I going to destine my soul to? To where am I going to go? Am I going to go to a place that the Lord has said, in a place called heaven? Or will I spend eternity in the depths of hell with the flames slapping at my feet and trying to consume me without effort and energy to do so? You see, Moses went on to say this. To respond to self, he said, well, you know how we. But then he goes on to say, he says, are to encamp in the wilderness. In other words, Hobab, I know where you come from. Hey, friend, I know good and well what I'm asking you to do. I know what I'm asking you to look at. You're looking at the wilderness of Paran. And I know where I'm asking you to come from. I'm asking you to come from the city of palm trees. I know that's where your house is, Daddy. I married your daughter. I know exactly where it is. I've been there, lived there before. I've walked through the streets of that city of palm trees. I know it's beautiful. I know it's gorgeous. I know it's like a lush land. And I know that I'm asking you to look at wilderness out here. I know that I'm asking you to see things out here and try to see them as they are not. But Daddy, can you understand what I'm trying to tell you? What I'm trying to tell you is as happy as you've ever been in a city of palm trees is as happy as you'll ever get. But if you'll come out here to the wilderness with me, if you'll walk with me in the wilderness of Paran, it could be that you could find happiness that surpasses all of the city of palm trees. Hear me right now. You think you found happiness in this world? Trust me, my friend. The happiest moment you've ever been in your life is as happy as you'll ever find yourself being in sin. But I want you to know, if you'll come with us to a place in which the Lord has said, if you'll come with us and receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, if you'll come and get baptized in Jesus' name, could it be that you'll find happiness? Could it be that you'll find peace that surpasseth understanding? Could it be that you'll find joy that bubbles up within your soul that confounds the wise of this world? He didn't stop there. He went ahead and addressed the third thing. He addressed the self when he said, thou knowest how we. But then he addressed provision when he said, and look at the wilderness out there. It's going to come, sir. You trust that land. It may look barren, but you trust it. The olive leaf will bring forth. And then thirdly, he goes on to say that thou mayest be to us instead of eyes. In other words, sir, we don't want you to just come tag along as some servant with a bow tie that comes in the back door to serve us.
We don't want you to just follow after us as aimless people, nowhere to go, as nomads, just following the wake of righteous people without being a part of us. In other words, sir, we want you to be an integral part of our makeup. We want you to be a part of what we are. We want you to be involved in our destiny. Friend, we're not asking you to come into this church to be just another number that sits on a chair. We want you to come in and get involved. We want you to become a Sunday school teacher. We want you to become a preacher. We want you to become a song leader. We want you to become an usher and a greeter. We don't want you to just come in here and be some warm body that we can advertise as another number in our growth and attendance. We want you to be a part of our family. Come on, somebody. I'm preaching this morning and I want to end right now. I want somebody to hear me. We don't want you to just come in here and let it become some religious exercise on a Sunday morning. We want you to become a part of our life and we want to become a part of yours. We want to be able to bear your burden as you bear our burden. We want you to become to us as more than just eyes. It's interesting the power the new convert can add to a church. It's interesting, the insight. We always think that insight can only come from those that have been in church for a long time. But it's tremendously interesting, the insight that can come from new converts in a church. We were just recently at a place, and I want to end, but so please come. We were at a place just recently, and there was a little bothersome amongst the congregation. There was a stirring, not a good stirring. It was an ugly, bad stirring. And things weren't going the way I thought a revival ought to go. We were going down instead of up, and that's not good for an evangelist. Until finally a new convert had come to the pastor, unbeknown to me, and began to talk to him and say, "Sir, I'm seeing some things that are making me really uncomfortable." Pastor said, "Well, what are you talking about?" And by that time I was involved in the counsel of the conversation. "Well, what are you talking about?" Well, Pastor, with all due respect, well, Pastor, with everything that is within me to not be out of line or out of place, Pastor, I've been there. I've tasted of sin. I knew how it started in me. I knew the road that it took me on. I knew the steps that I walked before I finally got to the bottom of the barrel. And, sir, I'm seeing it right on the pew. I know that it just starts in the little tiny areas, like it's starting in that particular young lady's life over there. I've seen it happen in that young lady's life. I've watched it for the past few months as she has began to go in choreographed step, one right after the other, as though something is dictating to her exactly which step to take and at what time to do it. But, sir, with all due respect, I'm telling you, your daughter is making a rude and gross mistake. She's walking a path that I walked. She's taking the road that I took. And this is where it got me, sir. It got me in a mess. Can you do something? I want you to know, my friend, by that time it was already too late. By that time the daughter had finally, by the end of the week, had come and said, "Daddy, I'm sorry. I'm sorry I've hurt my husband. I'm sorry I've hurt the whole church. But Dad, I've been having an affair for the past 6 months, and I know I'm going to destroy your reputation in this church and in the community. I'm sorry, Daddy." I want somebody to understand here, we need new converts in the church. We need people coming to the family because they add insight. They can look in and say, "Hey, you can be to us more than eyes. You've been in this wilderness before. You've walked this path before. You know the right turn to take. You know the right way to take. You know where the cliffs are. You know where not to go at night. And you know where to stay in the middle of the day. You know what water pools to drink out of and which ones are poison. Why? Because you've lost your horses there before. Because you had servants fall off the cliff before. Because you have felt pain before." Sir, we're not asking you to come and just be another sect. We're not asking the black man to come and start his own church over there. We're not asking the yellow man to come and keep segregated and start his over there. I'm asking everybody to come together as one family. Don't go back to your kindred. Stay in the house of God. Let's stand in this house. Hell will tell you that without self, without provision, and without obligation of family and loved ones, you will never make it in life. But heaven will tell you that if you cast yourself away, He will give Himself to you. Heaven will tell you, friend, that if you will simply cast away your own abilities and talents and trust in your own provisions and try to manipulate and work out your own successes, if you'll trust in Him, He'll raise you up and give you honor in due process and time and season. And hell will tell you, don't leave your family behind. You must stay where they are. You must go with them and stay with them in order to be effective in their life. But heaven will tell you, step out from among them. Draw yourself and come to the family of God, and they will follow. If you look in Joshua chapter 1, you find out that when Moses prevailed again and said, wait, Dad, before you turn your back and leave on me, just give me one more chance. One more chance to tell you that God is faithful. One more chance to tell you, sir, that God is on your side and that He's been fighting for your soul. Would you please come and join the family that's going to a place that the Lord has said? I want you to know, somewhere Joshua tells us in Joshua chapter 1 that he had reconsidered. He and his entire family began to follow Moses through the wilderness to the promised land. I want somebody to reconsider now. I know you've already made up your mind what you're going to do by 12 o'clock. I know you've already set it in your concepts and your precepts of what you're going to do. But I'm asking you right now, would you reconsider? Would you step out from where you are and trust in a Lord that loved you while you were yet a sinner? Would you step out from where you are and come to an altar where He died on a cross, shed His blood that He could provide for you, that He Himself could instill Himself in you by the Holy Ghost? Would you trust in Him who rose again and gave you a promise and said, hey, I go to a place to prepare for you, and where I go, there ye may be also. Come on. There's a place that the Lord has said. It's called heaven. Young person, I will tell you, you don't have a chance in this world. But heaven says, as long as you trust in Jesus, you've got every chance in the world. Hell will tell you there's no way you could ever break through the chains. But I'm telling you to tell it no. Say, no, I will not believe in you. No, I will not follow you. And if you'll look toward heaven today and begin to say, heaven, yes, I'll follow you, heaven. I'll join the family of God. I'll come to you, Lord, and be baptized in Jesus' name. Like the Bible says, I will give myself to the kingdom of the Lord and join the family of God. Every head bowed and every eye closed in this house. I know some of you are concerned about the room at this altar and whether or not there's enough room for you to come. I don't want you to do that right now. I want you to trust in Jesus. I want you to trust that He'll provide room. I want you to trust that He'll make a way where there is no way. Is there anybody in this place you want to cast self aside? Is there anybody in this place you want to say, hey, I'm tired of letting provision keep me from living for God? Is there anybody in this place you're tired of obligation? You're tired of being the same way you've always been? You're tired of always doing things because they're expected of you from family? You want to come and say, hey, Moses, I'm on my way with you. Hey, Jesus, I will follow you and I will make it to heaven. Everybody in this house, if you'll just lift the hand, begin to pray. I want you to pray that the Lord would use you right now to go pray for somebody. I want you to pray the Lord would use you right now to reach out and go talk to somebody and minister to them and tell them they have a promise. I want you to know, if you want to come to this altar, we'll pray for you right now in the name, not a big production. We'll all pray together. And we'll begin to ask the Lord, hey, Lord, release them from a city of palm trees. Release them from the talents of this world and set them free to follow after you. Come on, church, pray. Jesus, help us. Help us, Lord Jesus.
My Father's house, to my Father's come on, let's talk to Jesus tonight, this morning. Hallelujah. Come and go with me to my Father's house. Oh, to my Father's house. Oh, to my Father's house. Come and go with me to my Father's house where there's peace, peace, peace. Father's house, oh, to
Father's house, to my Father's house. Come and go with me, yeah, to my Father's house, where there's peace, peace, peace. Oh, come and go with me, oh, to my Father's house, to my Father's house. Father's house, where there's peace, peace, peace. Oh, come and go with me to my Father's house, to my Father's house, to my Father's house. Come and go with me to my Father's house, where there's house. The child Praise God, I'm a child.